The divine idea, which is in focus, is that which man really is. Okay? Therefore, this infinite mind and spirit and soul and principle, life, truth, love, this infinite divine parent that is fathering its idea is really fathering what appears as man. It's really maintaining and sustaining and supporting, giving to, feeding the real man, the compound idea. And that infinite divine parent, that divine mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, are really mothering what appears as man. Consequently, the real man, the compound idea, is always protected, is always preserved and cared for by its divine mother, by its divine mothering. Parent. Therefore, the little I of man really does not have to sustain or maintain or support itself, but really only has to recognize that which it really is. And where its provision comes from. That so-called little I of man does not have to protect and nurture and care for itself, but really only to recognize that which it really is, what has brought it into being, and to accept its being as idea held in that self-containment of love, where it is eternally cared for. The peace that will come over you if you are able to see that which you really are as idea, and to recognize here in this place value that that divine parent that created that which you really are is sustaining that which you really are, and is caring for that which you really are, and that we don't have to worry about it, that we don't have to be afraid, that we don't have to be so busy maintaining our false sense of self and preserving that false sense of self. Because the real man of our being is always provided for and always preserved. Always. For the divine, infinite parent cannot help but supply and take in everything for its idea. It just supplies its idea with the whole of its being, and it just holds it there in objectified form. It's tremendous. And if you just will hum this place value and echo these exercises and not shun them because they are not rote and they're never the same and they answer every counterfeit claim that we feel deep within, some that we're aware of consciously and others that haven't even begun to surface. It handles it all before one is even aware of it. Because this is the law on the level of absolute Christian Science, where everything is a preventative practice. So if I'm in the midst of this wonderful position where the divine infinite parent is forever caring for, forever eternalizing that which I am, it doesn't ever not work, and it doesn't ever eternalize that which I'm not. So it just gives a great sense of security and peace. And it's a wonderful place to be. You know how much fun the family law, Christianity, on the level of Christian Science, is to exercise. Well, this is the divine parent that feeds into that possibility. Isn't it just wonderful? So do exercise. Do know that the infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love are eternalizing, are feeding, maintaining, supporting, sustaining, providing for, upholding, promoting the whole objectified matrix, really, of their being. They're eternalizing their idea with all that they are, which is the 7 times 7. The whole of what they are. And they're containing, they're preserving and accepting and embracing and nurturing and holding and protecting and caring for, cherishing and tending the objectified matrix of their being with all that they are, their whole 7 times 7 nature. You couldn't be given more, and you're never outside of that. Now let's go on to the next one. The last law on the absolute Christian Science level is, of course, not really last at all. In a sense, it's first. It's the only. Because the law of life, truth, and love, and the law of truth, life, and love, and the law of life and love are really just a slow motion view of this law, truth and love, which has been entitled the law of pre-established form or pre-stabilized form or perfection. And the accent here is on feedback. Really, it's seeing that that idea is fed back into its principle, that it's held within its principle. Remember, absolute Christian Science level here in its law of spontaneity was just saying, really, that there was a creator creating creation. And at this point, it's really saying, and the creator and the creation are one. They're not two separate things. That the subject and the object are really one. They're just two views of the same. Two offices of the same. And science here is really defining itself as the self-interpretation of being, the self-explanation of being. So here you really have the law of spontaneity interpreting that which it is, the truth of its own perfection, the consciousness of its own perfection. It's really saying that there is only that wholeness in its completeness, in its complete perfection. That all the facts that have been brought out through the scanner and eternalized by the divine parent, they're all infinite computations of ideas, that they exist in completion within an infinite plan, that every so-called positive problem, I should say every positive problem, so-called problem, is already solved. It's already fulfilled. 2 plus 2 is already 4. Okay. That there is no work to do. That the divine, infinite being has already done the work. And the work is done. That there is only form, truth, form, which is established in perfection. Or we might see it as all ideas exist as facts, computations, calculations, and they're already fulfilled, complete. It's really that being's instantaneous self-understanding in divine science, is translating as infinite aspects of this self-understanding. Just from the term self-understanding, you already get the feeling that everything is known, is done, is complete, is there. There's no processing sense like in the Word. In the Word, we have that wonderful feeling of the divine being bringing something into being, having that wonderful creative urge to express that which it is. And in the Christ, that wonderful ability of that being to specify itself into individualized facts, individualized form, of that one being. And in Christianity, for that idea to come forth, that object to come forth, and for that object to be eternalized and contained always. But here we see that that has never been going on as a process, that that was just an in-depth view of the fact that the fact of being is fulfilled, that there is an infinite consciousness within being that is always perfect, and that in order to interpret the very perfection of its being, the very integrated plan of its being, it's as if that divine infinite calculus then slow motions itself for really our human understanding and shows itself forth in its operation, in its ability to calculate. It says, this is the way in which I calculate, the way in which I circuit. The difference between that self-understanding on the upper level and the one that we're viewing here is the focus of attention. Here the focus of attention really is on that idea and what that idea is as it is found embedded in its principle. That idea is a complete fact. It is a little or big integrated being unto itself, but it's always held in and of the principle that gives it power. The counterfeit belief here might be that I have to do the work. I should tell you a story on myself. When all of these papers were putting themselves together and so forth, you know, shall we say that the grand plan for whatever was supposed to happen today, it was pretty easy to stay out of the way and pretty easy to feel that that divine infinite being was just urging forth and bringing forth everything that it wanted, and I just had complete trust in that, and I just let it do it. It was just terrific. And all the papers for Life, Truth, and Love came flowing out, and Truth, Life, and Love came flowing out, and Life and Love came flowing out. No problems whatsoever. And then I got to this one, and everything started crunching around. I think I did it over I don't know how many times. It wanted to say that I had to do the work. You know, it was really the opposite that was surfacing. Little story here on me. So it's really easy to fall into the trap of thinking that one has to do the work. And, I mean, it was very subtle. It wasn't on a certain level that I thought I had to do the work, but on a very subtle level underneath, I must have thought I was the one that was sitting there having to get out of the way, so to speak, and listen for what really had to come forth at that particular point beyond that which had already been given. So I guess at that point I fell heir to the belief that I was not fed back into my principle, that I was really not absolutely one with principle, that I was not unified with principle, and consequently it wanted to feel that I had to do the work. Well, of course, it was a big lie. And once I got rid of that one, it was very simple. It did the work, and it was a great pleasure. I just witnessed it. You know, I just let it do what it had to do. I share that with you because it's really easy to feel responsible. It's really easy to feel responsible for the idea, but it really isn't necessary. We've already found out in the Law of Life and Love that the Divine Father is providing that idea with everything that it is, and the Divine Mother is holding that idea there, preserving it, protecting it there. So now in this wonderful place value where the work is done, where there's only the consciousness of perfection, it's infinitely easier. You just sit in that consciousness of perfection because the divine infinite principle really is conscious of itself as that perfection. And really, that is what I am. So I have to be sure that I don't get in the way and think that I have to do the work. Or counterfeit belief might be that there's no calculus, that the calculus is not at work, that the wonderful law of spontaneity is not at work, that infinite computations are not forever coming forth from within an integrated design, that somehow there's a disintegrated design or a disintegrated calculus, that they're just, you know, random combinations that don't make any sense at all. That sounds kind of esoteric when we're up there, but I'm not sure that that isn't a place value that we fall into a lot in our own experience, where it's, you know, here a thought, there a thought, somewhere else a thought, but nothing is found in its principle. You know, there isn't an idea unless it's found in its principle. And if we think that there's a temptation not to do that, we really must go back to the law of life, truth, and love and get it straight as to what is bringing forth that idea. And to the law of truth, life, and love, and get it straight, what is specifying and individualizing, translating that being to the point of idea, and back to life and love, and reaffirm within consciousness that which is really eternalizing the idea, then we'll know that that idea is a fact in the divine principle. It just is. Now, on the next page, there's a little fuller explanation where we can really see that the divine principle love is really in a state where it is realized in its fullness. That wonderful divine circuitry of the infinite one has a consciousness within itself. It is really able to be conscious within itself, to realize within itself the fullness, the perfection of its own being, of its integrated being, that the divine form really exists in perfection. That in absolute Christian Science here, that divine principle, love, is really in a state of ideational realization, a realization of its ideas, an ideational realization of its integrated, pre-stabilized, pre-established perfection. It's always been the way it is. That the divine principle love's instantaneous realization of the circuitry of its being in divine science appears as truth and love's conscious realization of the matrix calculus of its own ideational being, the form of its being. And that's a loaded statement, so I know unless it's pondered in depth, it may just sound like gibberish or words, But truth and love really represent a conscious realization of a deep inner calculus which exists within the matrix of its ideational being. Ideational because this level focuses on idea, the form of its being. Therefore, this form is really the true form of my being, the perfect form of each idea. It's where one rises above the belief that one is man, even beyond the belief of just idea. It is that form which is known within the perfect consciousness of mind. It is that form which is conceived in the perfect consciousness of mind. It is that form which is forever ordered in the perfect consciousness of spirit. It is that form which is identified within the perfect consciousness of soul. It is that form which is systematized within the perfect consciousness of principle, structured within the perfect consciousness of principle. It is that form which is eternalized within the perfect consciousness of life. It is that form which is realized within the perfect consciousness of its truth, and it is that form which is optimized, glorified within the perfect consciousness of its love. That is the true form of my being. I have no other form, really. If mind doesn't know of it in its consciousness, it isn't known. If spirit hasn't evolved it in its consciousness, it hasn't been evolved. If soul hasn't identified it or defined it in its consciousness, it hasn't been identified or defined. If principle hasn't demonstrated it within its consciousness, then it hasn't been demonstrated. If life hasn't eternalized it, then it hasn't been eternalized. If truth hasn't realized it, then it hasn't been realized. And if love hasn't glorified, it hasn't optimized it, then it hasn't been. If love hasn't fulfilled it, it's never been fulfilled. It is really integrated being represented by love in a state of wholeness represented by truth. It is really that position I feel of divine holograph, where you have a spiritual realization in the consciousness of truth and love. that holograph is more than just the matrix. It's the whole operation of the matrix. And that idea held within. It's the spiritual realization in that consciousness, the consciousness of truth and love. So, there really is a transfigured form of my being. We can all stand on the Mount of Transfiguration, as it were, and ascend, right? When we recognize that which we really are, that which really is. When we recognize the holograph of our own being and its place within the whole graph, when we are consciously conscious of that which mind knows and spirit orders and soul identifies and principle systematizes and life eternalizes and truth realizes and love plans. I have here that the transfigured form of my being, the holograph of my being, is that which is known as a fact within the integrated design. That which being knows as a fact within itself. Not that which I know, that which it knows, that which is a fact within that design. That which is really an ordered calculus within that integrated design. That which is identified as a fact, not just known or ordered, but identified as a fact within that infinite integrated design. That which is really a systematized calculus within that integrated design. You notice I'm not a he who, but a that which. He who left a long time ago. This is a that which. That which I am. It is that which is eternalized. It's an eternalized consciousness within that integrated design. It's a realized consciousness within that integrated design. It's really a holographic consciousness within that infinite design. And when we awaken to that, we'll stand in that place, transfigured. Isn't that exciting? We will find that we are inseparably united with our principle, that we stand in that perfect place in consciousness where we are united with principle, where we're just united. Mrs. Eddy referred to this level in a rather graphic way when she spoke of westward to the grand realization of the golden shore of love and the peaceful sea of harmony. I don't know that any of us knew what that meant, but it's a nice place to be. So you can see why I love this level and I love these laws, because they allow for instantaneous appearance of correct fact that is absolutely in line with a deep integrated design, a deep integrated plan. And there is no way to be out of line with it, because one is continually affirming one's being held within that principle, one's divine form as existing within that principle. One is finding the true fact, the true consciousness of all being held within its principle. And there's just that tremendous surge of life and vitality from just flowing through this level. Just even not culturing it, even not doing it in such a detailed way, but just the flowing from law to law to law, just the seeing that there is a divine, infinite, subjective being that is calling forth all that it is into expression, and that that is such a perfect source, such a perfect being, that it couldn't call anything into being that wasn't perfect and that wasn't preordained, so to speak, that didn't have a goal direction within it. That divine being had that wonderful capability within itself to specify itself, to stroboscope itself, to individualize that which it is, to bring forth the specific right calculation of its whole being, and that in its ability to do that, it didn't lose a portion of itself, it doesn't lose a thing, that it just has that great ability to individualize and to bring out, to translate to the point where it brings out idea. And in Christianity, that wonderful place where we see that that idea that's been brought out is maintained and sustained and supported and provided for and fed, and that that idea is really preserved and protected and cared for, cherished, because it really exists as a fact in the consciousness of being itself. And it's a perfect, it just exists in the perfection of consciousness. That idea really is a fact that's caught up unto God, so to speak, that's caught up unto its divine, infinite principle, love. And it's complete. It's whole. Every facet of it is there. Being's conscious realization of its own being. That's its form. Its form. It's a very glorified position. You just see that it needed to express in this calculus that was a slow motion view of how it was really glorifying itself from within. And on this level, it's that wonderful infinite calculus of ideas. So we have that great opportunity of sitting in the consciousness of this level and the consciousness of these four laws, where the work really is done, and where positive calculations are brought forth which automatically handle any counterfeit claim or possibility that could come into view. It's a tremendous place to be. If one can sit in a consciousness of this level, one is really in the world, but not of it. Appearances happen and they come, and this happens and that happens, and you just have this great voice inside of you that says, that's not a fact. I don't have to buy into that. That's not real. I don't have to buy into that. The divine infinite being didn't create that, didn't bring that forth, didn't specify that as a specific situation or equation. It's only maintaining the truth of itself. It can't maintain the lie. And it's a fact. It's just a glorified fact. So I don't have to buy into that. If you can go around in that consciousness, you'll be free. You'll just be freer than you've ever been in your life. It's a wonderful place to be, where appearances come. I'm not saying they don't come. They come. And they disappear. Because you don't buy into the drama of them. You know that they're not real, that they haven't been created by life, truth, and love, that they weren't specified by truth, life, and love, that they weren't maintained or eternalized by life and love. They are not a fact in the consciousness of the one infinite being.